Okay, so today the goal is to review what we covered a little bit, the main points of principles we reviewed last Sabbath, and then we will go into month two. So last Sabbath, we read from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and then verses 14. And what we saw there is that it's important to note, to understand that Elohim created the heavens and the earth, but then on day two, he put a dome or a firmament over the earth. And this firmament, which we call also heaven, is not the heavens spoken of on day one, when he says in the beginning he created the heavens and earth. No, this is a specific dome, specific for the earth only. Okay? And then in verse, let me just move my device here a little bit. In verse 14, we're told, so again, the firmament was made on the second day. So it's obvious that it's not the one that he created in the beginning. Okay? So in verse 14, we read again how Elohim created the Orim, the lights, in plural. He let there be lights, he said. When did he say that? On the fourth day, not on the first day. So it's not the same lights. It's not the same light. This is a different, these are a different set of lights. These are created lights, luminaries, which were the sun, moon, and the stars. And he put them in the firmament that he had made. Verse 17 says, and Elohim set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. The expanse is that firmament. It separate the heavens where the angelic host and he is with us who are on the earth. It's a divider, right? And so he set that firmament on the second day, and he put the lights that he created when he said, let there be lights, he created those lights and put them in the firmament. In our firmament, that's where they are. And interestingly, February of last year, I don't know if some of us paid attention, but the first time NASA admitted that the moon is within our quote unquote atmosphere. They had to admit it given the facts that are coming out. But that's a subject all its own. And I know Brother Richard, Brother Willard, you're very keen on those things, and I'm grateful. And others. So we know, so they finally had to admit that the moon is within the heavens, our sky, our firmament, our atmosphere. That's exactly where it is. The scriptures tell us that. It's not what have been we've been told. That's a subject on its own, right? So with these lights, when he put those lights, he gave them a purpose. We don't determine the pur this purpose did not exist yet on plan on the plain earth. He says, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days, for years. Interestingly, he does not mention the eternal does not mention the month. But as I said, by inference, we know the months exist within the years. But I believe in his wisdom, because Elohim knows the confusion people would have. He purposely did not mention months there. He mentioned strictly the, he mentioned for signs, ot, seasons, and days and years. That's what he mentioned. And let them be for lights in the expanse, in the dome, in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, right? And then he identifies them in verse 16, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. So that's, so our seasons, as we saw on, in our calendar, and our years, and our years and signs, those things began on the fourth day. Prior to that, there were no signs. Signs for what? Signs for navigation, what people would call the constellations or the zodiac. Prior to day four, there were no such things. It did not exist. So this is why we know for certain that the year began on day four of the first month, right? And we know a month is a count of 30 days. So from day four, we just count around the numbers, the weekly cycle, 30 days. So we, if we do that, as shown in the calendar, you will find that the year would have started on the fourth of the week and would have ended on the fifth day of the week. So that's what we covered. And so we've gained that understanding just by looking at Genesis chapter 1. It's a matter of solving problems. We have, it's finding, like you could say, it's an equation. We have certain information that allows us to solve the problem. We know a day, we know the seventh day, and we're told the fourth day. And we're told the fourth day was when these things started. So what else can we say? And we saw also in the New Testament, in the account of the Gospels, that through the time Messiah was arrested and put to and rose from the dead, there put to death and resurrected, there is a period of 3 days and three nights. And it's important, again, as I said, to distinguish. It's not three nights and 3 days, because the outcome is different. If you start in the night, the outcome will be different. If you start in the day, it'll be different. So he says 3 days and three nights. So it begins, so his time that he calls being in the heart of the earth started with the daytime, not the nighttime, although he was crucified, although he died, he gave up his spirit by the evening. He did not count that. He says, it's in, you start by the day. So he says 3 days and three nights. We have to take it as it is. If we do that, we will see continuity throughout the scriptures. So we saw that. And we saw that when we counted backwards from the time he was seen alive, that he was actually crucified on a Wednesday, right? If we do that, we will have a period of 3 days and three nights. Okay. Now there are some that he would believe he was crucified on a Friday. If that was the case, he would have 3 days and three nights. He would have risen from the grave, what we call the third day, a Tuesday. Okay. And, that's another, my goal here is not to justify, or I'm just saying that there are differences in opinions, and we all know that. That's not my goal. I'm just stating the fact that the unfortunate fact that there are differences of opinion. But either way, 3 days and three nights are 3 days and three nights. We have to account it as he says. And we also saw the same thing with the account of Paul's trip from Troas after the days of unleavened bread. Okay. There was a period from the day of unleavened bread, after the day of the unleavened bread, which would have been the end, which would have been a Wednesday at the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, would have technically fallen on a Tuesday. Sorry. Yeah. The day after would be a Wednesday or a fourth day. And there was 12 days in between. And on the 12th day was a first day of the week. So all we need to do is say, okay, let's take any first day of the week and count 12 days backwards. And you will find that on the 12th day, you will land also on a Wednesday. Okay. So that's how you know. And then once we know where Passover is, we know the scriptures told us that Passover is on the 14th day. And the first day of unleavened bread is on the 15th day. And the last day or seventh day of unleavened bread is on the 21st of the month. So when we count from that Sunday or first day of the week, 12 days backwards, if the calendar is correct, that day, when the first day from 12 to 1 should be a Wednesday. And when you do that, you're going to find out that it will land on a Wednesday. Because he told us that that 12th day was a first day of the week. So it's just counting backwards. It's very simple. And again, brethren, Elohim would not waste our time putting all that information there if it wasn't necessary. If there wasn't, because he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim. Every word is given for instruction and reproof. So he's not going to give you all this dating and timing without cause. It's because he puts us there so that when the time comes, those who are seeking to know the truth will find the evidence for the truth. That's why it's there. I assure you, brethren, that that portion of Acts that's given us the date and the time is so that we can know when exactly these things happen and also know our calendar, because we must keep the Passover. You understand? We must keep it at the right time. And there's no way Elohim would not want us to know. And that's why we have to have faith in Elohim, not faith in me or any man, but faith in Elohim, that through this process, he will guide us so that by the time we're done, before the year starts, before the new year, biblical new year starts, we will know. He will guide us and make the right decision to keep it at the right. But we have to have faith in his word. So now let's go on to the second month. So we said that the first month ended on the fifth day of the week. That would be correspond to what we call Thursday. So if it ended on the fifth day of the week, that would mean what? That would mean the first day of the second month must start on a Friday. That's what it would mean. Or on the sixth day of the week. That's what that would mean. Is it true? Can we prove it? So look at the little diagram of the second month. So it shows you that the first day of the second month begins on the sixth day of the week, what the secular folks call Friday. So the first day is on the sixth. Then we wrap 30 days around 7 days a week, and we find that the second month will always end on a Friday. I'm sorry, on a Sabbath. It begins on a Saturday on the sixth day of the week, and the 30th day will be on a Sabbath. That's what it should look like. Let's see now if that is true. So to do that, let's turn to Exodus chapter 16. Turn to Exodus chapter 16, please. Okay? Because there, again, Elohim gives us a date, and he gives us a day. And as mentioned last week, if Elohim gives us within a month, within a single month, if he gives us a date and a day, and how many days follows that day, just as Yeshua, we were told he was seen alive on the first day, right? And 3 days and three nights, and we know that he was, so we just counted 3 days and three nights backwards, and it lands on a Wednesday, because we have the day and the dates. Same situation here. So let's read this very carefully. We're not going to read it entirely, but we'll read the verses that gives that pertains to understanding the movement of time in this chapter. And it, okay? So verse 16, Exodus chapter 16, Shemot chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. Listen carefully. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, On the 15th day of the second month, okay, I don't like to write in my Bible, I don't. But if this was a math problem, I would tell the kids, underline that, circle that information. We're told the date. It says the 15th day of the second month. Okay? It's the 6th day. All right. So let me stop here and let's go back to a bit chapter 15 so I can make a point that this date is not just arbitrarily put there. When you read chapter 15 all the way through, you will find towards the end that the people were grumbling. Right? Let's see. They were complaining about being thirsty and just kvetching. They were complaining. Then verse 27 says, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. So they had no water where they were before. Elohim gave them the water through by telling Moses what to do, and they got lots of water. And then after that episode, Elohim brought them to a fertile place full of water and trees. 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. Okay? So that's the background of what we're reading now. So now they have water. But then what happened in verse 1? They set out from Elim and all the, so they left that place. Right? And they went between Elim and Sinai. So they're between Elim and Mount Sinai, somewhere in the middle of those two areas. And verse 2 says, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumble on the 15th day is when they got there. Sorry. So that's the point of the 15th day. It's not arbitrary. Elohim wants us to know something about the 15th day of the second month of the second year. Okay? So after they had departed from the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel, I'm in verse 2, grumble against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Okay? And we know the scenario. They complain. Then verse 4 says, and the Eternal said to Moses, on verse 4, the Eternal said to Moses, behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I might prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. Now remember, he already said they weren't, right? Remember that? So just keep that in mind about the knowledge of Elohim. So verse 5, on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So a miracle will happen there. Okay? When they gather on the sixth day, it will be double no matter what they do, as long as they're trying to do the right thing. So verse 6. So Moses and Aaron said, after they received this message, again, going back to what we said about leadership and bishops, Moses was like a bishop. Aaron was like, you could say a deacon or a shamashim, with Moses. But Moses was definitely a bishop, an overseer over the people. And he received information from Elohim, not from man, not from reading. Elohim tells him what to do. And then he tells him, and then they say to all the people of Israel at evening, listen to this part very carefully.
Because this is going to let us know. Because remember what? Let's go back. Let's look at the fact that we know. So we know they got to, they left that on the 15th day of the second month, they were grumbling again about not having food. Then Elohim appeared to Moses and told him that he's going to rain bread for them. And that they are to gather a portion for 6 days. And on the sixth day, they're going to have a double portion. So hypothetically, if, and it's not, but let's say from the 15th, 6 days later, what's 6 plus 15? 21, right? So 6 days later would have been the 21st day of the month, right? But that's not the case. But some people think this happened the next day. We have to read it carefully. You'll see there were a set of other days that happened before the manna came. So at evening, Moses is telling the people, you shall know that it was the Eternal who brought you out of the land of Egypt. One. So when will they know? When will this be made known to them again? At evening. And what's going to happen next? And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Eternal, because he has heard your grumbling against the Eternal. Keep that in mind. So in the evening, this is happening. They're being told this on the 15th now, because this is the 15th. That's why we're given that date. This is happening on the 15th, just like the pattern we saw in Genesis chapter 1. And this happened, he did X, and this was the first day, or this was the second day. Certain events are happening, important events are happening, and Elohim is telling us exactly what day this is happening. So that's why 15th is important. But on the 15th, he's telling them, at evening, you shall know that it was the Eternal who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Eternal, because he has heard your grumbling. So this is the 16th. So when did this happen? Keep in mind the exact information. In the morning, they will know it was Elohim who brought them out. I'm sorry, in the evening, they will know it was Elohim who brought them out of Egypt. And in the morning, they will see his glory. Keep that in mind, please. Write that down if you need to. So let's move down, because he's just admonishing them for complaining, and they said, it's not against us, it's not against Moses and Aaron that you're complaining against the Eternal. So verse 9, then Moses said unto Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people, pay close attention, because what Elohim told them is about to happen. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Eternal, for he has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, what happens here? The glory of the Eternal appeared in the cloud. So what happened here? Because it's morning, and just as Elohim said, they saw his glory. So one thing was fulfilled. Let's see what happens. So now in the morning, they see his glory. And as soon, at verse 10, and as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Eternal appeared in the cloud, just as he said. Now listen to Elohim's words, so we can know what happened. How many days now? Now, and the Eternal said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight, so the evening of that morning where his glory appeared, you shall eat what? You shall eat meat. So a full day goes by, brethren, is the point. You will eat meat. And in the morning, you shall be filled with the bread. So let's stop. Keep those facts in mind. So on the 15th, they were grumbling. On the 15th, they were told that in the evening, they would come to know the glory. They would come to know that Elohim was the one who took them out of Egypt. And in the morning, the next day, they would know that that they would see his glory. So on the evening of the 15th, they saw his glory. I'm sorry, they came to know that it was him. In the morning, when Aaron was speaking with them, the next day, which is now the 16th, they saw his glory. So now Elohim starts speaking. He says, in the evening of that day, which is the 16th, which is the night of the 16th, they're going to receive the quail. The next day, which is now the 17th, they receive the manna. Okay? That's how. So let's look if that makes sense. And we know we have to count from the manna 6 days, and the day after the manna is the Sabbath day. How do we know that? It says here, let's see where it says the day after the manna is the Sabbath day. So verse 20th says, but they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. Verse 21, morning by morning they gathered each as much as he could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. So the gathering of the manna was strictly a daytime event between early morning and midday. Now, verse 22, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, Moses, verse 23, said to them, this is what the Eternal has commanded. Tomorrow, not Friday night, because it's the sixth day now. Remember, the sixth day of the week. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Shabbat to the Eternal. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning. When is the Sabbath? Tomorrow, the day in the morning. So verse 24, so they laid aside till the morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Now Moses said to them in verse 25, eat it today, for today is the Sabbath. When is this? The morning. The Sabbath started in the morning. Today is the Sabbath. Today you will not find it in the field. Verse 26, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is Sabbath, there will be none. So after the sixth day is the Sabbath. So let's look at our calendar. Let's look at the month, second month, and let's work this out. Look at the calendar. So let's look at that highlighted 15th. It says on the 15th, they came to, were in the middle of Sinai, in between Elim and Sinai. They had moved on from Elim. They're in the middle. They grumbled about not having food. Then Elohim said to them through, told Moses that in the evening, they're going to see his glory. So he's telling them this in the evening of the 15th, right? And he says, in the evening, you're going to know that I am the one who took you out of Egypt. Look at the calendar as I'm speaking so you could follow. This is happening on the 15th. And you see it's on the sixth day of the week. Let's see if it's true, okay? So on the 15th, they were complaining. And on the 15th, Elohim gave them the solution. At evening of the 15th, they're going to know that he brought them out of Egypt. And in the morning, they're going to see his glory, right? So we see the account of when his glory was shown. His glory was shown in the morning. So that means that knowledge of that he came, that he's the one who took them out of Egypt, happened the evening before, right? Because he gave us an order. First is that you're going to know that at the evening, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. I'm the one who took you out of Egypt. In the evening, you're going to know this. And in the morning, the day after, you're going to see my glory. So we're at the part, starting from verse 10 of verse 16, where it's the morning. So that means it's the next day. It's no longer the 15th. It's now the 16th. So Elohim's glory, as they look towards the wilderness in the morning, as Aaron started speaking, they see his glory. He's appearing. He's about to speak to them. And what does Elohim say? So it's the morning of the 16th day. It's the Sabbath. Is it any wonder that he came to speak with them on the seventh day? The 16th was a Sabbath day. And so but he did not teach them the Sabbath yet, because they had forgotten. If they knew it, they forgot about it. But it's on the Sabbath day he's meeting with them there. And he's telling them, this evening, the evening of the 16th, I'm going to rain meat for you. And the morning, which will be the 17th, look at it. What comes after? What's the next day after the Sabbath? It's going to be a first day of the week. The manna started on a first day of the week, the 17th. And they started gathering it for 6 days. Between dawn, between early morning and noon, because at noon it melted. So they gathered the manna the 17th, one day, 18th. Second day, 19th, third day, the 20th, fourth day, the 21st, fifth day, the 22nd, sixth day. They gather twice as much. Look at the numbers. Double, two and two. They gather twice as much. And on the Sabbath day, which was the 23rd of the month, they rested. So this is proof of the calendar. Okay, I know I said a mouthful, but you need to meditate on these. Go over the information. So it makes sense. You will see it's flawless. And interestingly enough, when I did this, I did not know about the Enoch calendar. I never heard of such a thing. I knew of Enoch. I didn't know about an Enoch calendar. It's my brother, Felix, who introduced to me the book of Enoch and the book of Jubilees. I never read those books. This information I got strictly from the Bible, just as you saw me did. That's how I did the first calendar, and that's how I did the second calendar. So it matches. So if the 23rd was the Sabbath, if the 23rd of the month was the Sabbath, that first Sabbath that they kept since they came out of Egypt, at least they kept knowingly, then all you need to do is count backwards from 23 to 1, and you will see that the first day of the month landed on the sixth day of the week. That means when you connect that with the first month, which ended on the 30th day, on the fifth day of the week, then it shows that the second month fell exactly after, started exactly the Friday or the sixth day after the first month. Okay, so this is this is the second month. And so I'm going to stop here to take questions and comments. So we've done the second month. My next intention, not today, the next time, we will go over the month of Av, the fifth month. That's a very important month. That's the month where the temple was destroyed. We're going to find out that the ninth of Av was a Sabbath according to records, according to Jeremiah. Jeremiah tells us when the temple was destroyed. And records show that the tenth of the month was a first day of the week. And that the ninth of the month, when the temple was started burning, was the ninth. And it was a Sabbath day. And if you take a quick look at the fifth month in our calendar, you're going to notice that the ninth is a Sabbath day. and that the 10th is a first day of the week. We can prove that too, brothers and sisters. But today is just the second month. So again, we look through the book of Exodus chapter 16. We looked at the account of them grumbling, and they were between Mount Sinai, between Elim and Mount Sinai. They were grumbling about food now. And Elohim told Moses that in the evening, they were going to know that he is the one who brought them out of Egypt. He's saying this to them on the 15th. That's why you have the date. But then he tells them that in the morning, they will see his glory. Then, as we continue reading, we find the account of when of him, of his glory appearing, which was the next day, because he says that would happen in the morning. So it was now the 16th. But when he appeared to them on the 16th, he told them that at evening, the evening of the 16th, they're going to receive bread. I'm sorry, food, meat. And he told them that in the morning, they're going to receive bread, which was the manna, on the 17th, on the first day of the week, between more early morning up until noon. Again, because at noon, it was over, it melted. And they were to gather it from the 17th for 6 days, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, double. And on the 22nd, double, brothers. That's why it says two and two. They had a double portion. Elohim is very precise. They had a double portion. And on the 23rd, they didn't have to do anything. It didn't rot. It didn't smell. They could rest. Didn't have to gather anything. So by hands-on instruction, and Elohim instructed them on the Sabbath, how it's to be kept. So on the 23rd, which was a Sabbath, was their first acknowledged Sabbath. It's very possible Elohim made them kept the Sabbath unknowingly. But now is when they knew it. They received that instruction. So that's it, brothers and sisters. So now I'll gladly take your questions. Thank you.